there's a solitary, humble wooden structure on a windswept hill in rural New England. To open the door is to engage our minds, our hearts, and our imaginations. In this place, preachers and professors, past and present, come alive as they walk the aisle, ascend the pulpit stairs, and teach. From theology, from history, and from the Word of God. Welcome to the Saybrook Meeting House, an audio production of Saybrook Ministries.
When I accepted the invitation to edit this Festschrift, I did it with a spirit of fear and trembling. A Festschrift is usually designed to honor and express appreciation for the labor and life of a great man of scholarship. But in this case, the Festschrift was to honor a man who has an incurable allergy to being honored. To praise John Gerstner is to offend him. To honor God is to delight him. Hence the title of the book, Soli Deo Gloria. With this book, we are hoping to bring honor to God alone. The honor, praise, glory, tribute, etc., belong to God. Yet the volume serves as an expression of appreciation and gratitude for the ministry of John Gerstner. To express gratitude to those servants of God who have ministered to us is not to offend God, but to please Him. Human appreciation is not idolatry. Ingratitude to men who have served us is an insult to the God who is the fountain of all grace. First, we thank John Gerstner for his witness and fidelity to the great truths of the Reformation. The cause of the Reformed faith has been strengthened by Dr. Gerstner's work as church historian, theologian, and apologist. For 25 years, Dr. Gerstner has been a seminary professor. From 1950 to 1959, he served on the faculty of Pittsburgh Xenia Seminary. Since the merger of Pittsburgh Xenia and Western Seminary, Dr. Gerstner has served on the faculty of Pittsburgh Theological Seminary as professor of church history. In the classroom, John Gerstner is known for his pedagogical method of dia lecture. The student does not attend to hear a recitation of the professor's knowledge, but is engaged in lively and provocative dialogue throughout. The Socratic method is keenly manifested. The student must grapple not only with the data of the course, but with the penetrating mind of the professor himself. Unscrupulously fair and exceedingly demanding is this modern gadfly of the classroom. Unprepared students shrink in terror with the fear that their ignorance of the lesson will be exposed in the dialogue. The day of written examination is similar to Amos's notion of the day of the Lord, a day of darkness with no light in it. The man who has never faced Dr. Gerstner one-on-one in an oral final exam does not know the meaning of the word crucible. Anecdotes of Gerstner's classroom could fill this book. Let one or two suffice as illustrative. Dr. Gerstner assumed the role of a Mormon, claiming that God had a physical body, arguing from inferences drawn from the Imago Dei. He asked the class to repudiate his view from Scripture. One by one, the students failed to dent his Mormon armor. Then a student appealed to Jesus' discourse with the woman of Sychar, quoting, "God is a spirit." Gerstner replied, "But are we not also spirits? Does not Genesis teach that man became a living soul? Being a spirit, then, QED, does not preclude one's having a body as well." Frustration reigned until another student called Dr. Gerstner's attention back to the Sychar episode, saying, "But the issue in the context of this discourse is the issue of localization of God. The point of Jesus' words, 'God is a spirit,' was to show that God could not be contained by spatial boundaries, etc." Gerstner shook his head and said, "No, no, no, no. That won't do. That's your interpretation." Then he turned to the rest of the class and said, "Come on now. Let's get to the root of the matter." But no one had an axe left to take to the root of the tree. Finally, the class gave up and said, "Please, Dr. Gerstner, tell us how we should handle an issue like this." The professor then went into a lengthy exegesis of Jesus' discussion with the Samaritan woman, echoing the very argument the student had given him earlier. The class was horrified and growled, "That's not fair. We said that, and you said it was wrong." Gerstner replied, "How did I show you it was wrong? I merely said it was wrong, offering no evidence. I said it was your interpretation, and you let me get away with it. Instead of repudiating my argument and dusting off the spot where I stood, you let me take your eye off the issue by a tactic of evasion." Needless to say, the lesson was unforgettable. Consider another episode. This time the issue was predestination, and I was the culprit. Dr. Gerstner addressed the class, saying, "All right, gentlemen, if predestination is true, what reason is there to be involved in evangelism?" He went around to the class one by one looking for an answer. He received an assortment of replies, such as, "I don't know," "Beats me," etc. Finally, he came to me with the question. Totally intimidated, I replied in a shaky voice, "Well, I'm sure this isn't what you're looking for, and I know it isn't really a significant answer, but, well, Jesus does command us to do it." He looked at me and his eyes lit up. He shrugged his shoulders and said, "Yes, I see, Mr. Sproul. What could possibly be a more insignificant reason than that Jesus, the Savior of your soul, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lion of Judah, Rose of Sharon, the Lord God Omnipotent, Incarnate, the Captain of your salvation, should command your obedience? What a paltry reason to do anything." I got the point. Beyond the rigorous demands is also a spirit of tenderness and concern for his students. He makes one work and think, but his door is open for counseling and pastoral care. For a quarter of a century of teaching, we thank you, John Gerstner. Secondly, we thank John Gerstner for the efforts of his pen. He has contributed to the life of the church by a wide variety of publications. He has produced booklets for laymen, including programs for young people, primers on various theological themes, and basic biblical studies. He has offered several helpful books, including Steps to Salvation, The Theology of the Major Sects, and Reasons for Faith. In addition, Dr. Gerstner has produced a vast number of articles and essays for dictionaries, journals, encyclopedias, magazines, anthologies, etc. For the past 10 years, his literary energy has been given primarily to his 3 volumes of the sermons of Jonathan Edwards, being part of the Yale Press series of the works of Jonathan Edwards. Thus, from popular literature for young adults to technical works of scholarship and research, John Gerstner has been vastly productive. Thirdly, we thank John Gerstner for the witness and example of his life. His life began in Tampa, Florida, being the only child of John and Marjorie Wilson Gerstner. His childhood years were spent in Philadelphia. In 1932, John Gerstner graduated from West Philadelphia High School, where he was the editor of the school newspaper and active in bowling and debating. His conversion to the Christian faith took place in a rather strange fashion. Between graduation from high school and matriculation at Westminster College, Dr. Gerstner visited the Philadelphia College of the Bible to inquire about summer studies. The inquiry was made out of deference to a high school teacher who suggested such study. An elderly gentleman in the registrar's office spent an hour explaining the Bible school's curriculum by tracing the history of redemption in outline. Descending the exit stairs of the building, John Gerstner was struck by the symmetry, cogency, and sweetness of the sovereign activity of God in history. When he left the grounds of the small Bible school in Philadelphia, he entered the portals of the kingdom of God. John Gerstner's education continued at Westminster College in New Wilmington, Pennsylvania. At Westminster, he became president of Tau Kappa Alpha, an honorary national debating fraternity. For 3 years, he starred as a cross-country runner and was on several athletic teams in the intramural sports. He played the lead in a dramatic play entitled The Finger of God. Perhaps the most important thing that happened to John Gerstner during his college days was his coming under the influence of his beloved mentor, Dr. John Orr. Perhaps it was John Orr, more than any other human being, who shaped the thinking and development of John Gerstner. From Westminster College, John Gerstner went on to study theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. There he was profoundly influenced by such men as John Murray, Ned Stonehouse, Edward J. Young, and Cornelius Van Til. Here also John Gerstner's love for Benjamin B. Warfield and Charles Hodge was kindled. While in seminary, Dr. Gerstner filled the pulpit for an absent friend in New York City one Sunday morning. After the service, he met Edna Suckow, who was visiting New York for the weekend. On September 7, 1940, John Gerstner married Edna Suckow. In 1951, Judy Black, at 8 years of age, became the foster daughter of John and Edna Gerstner. In 1953, Providence blessed the Gerstner household with the birth of a daughter, Rachel Gwen. In 1957, the Gerstner's son, Jonathan Neal, was born. John and Edna Gerstner, with their three children, and for over a decade, their Great Dane, Monty, have been a close-knit family. After receiving the Bachelor of Theology and the Master of Theology at Westminster Seminary, John Gerstner pursued his doctoral studies at Harvard University. In 1945, he was awarded a Ph.D. at that university. Beyond graduation, Dr. Gerstner received further education at the universities of Pittsburgh, Temple, Pennsylvania, Boston, Zurich, Barcelona, and Oxford. For 5 years after graduation from Harvard, Dr. Gerstner pursued the vocation of pastor. He held pastorates at the Sunset Hills United Presbyterian Church and the Second United Presbyterian Church of Wilkinsburg, both near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Then in 1950, John Gerstner went to Pittsburgh Xenia Theological Seminary to begin his career as a seminary professor. For 25 years, John Gerstner has been active in a plethora of historical and theological societies and has been recognized by way of honorary degrees and selection in distinguished biographies. Frequently, John Gerstner has expressed his indebtedness and admiration for the persons who have shaped his life. The names of John Orr, John Murray, John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards, B.B. Warfield, and others have been often on his lips. But clearly, the most influential teacher in John Gerstner's life has been the premier theologian of the Christian faith, the Apostle Paul. The eloquent themes of Romans, Ephesians, and the rest of the Pauline corpus have had a profound effect on Dr. Gerstner's thinking. In an era of church history, when theology is in chaos, the church is being shaken at its foundations, and Christian ethics shift and slide with every novel ideology, we are grateful for the vivid example of one who stands in the midst of confusion as a bright and burning light. From R.C. Sproul's Preface to Soli Deo Gloria, Essays in Reformed Theology, Festschrift for John H. Gerstner, published in 1976.
Thank you for joining us this week at the Saybrook Meeting House. We hope you've been blessed by today's podcast. Saybrook Ministries' mission is to provide didactic and devotional content from the Christian faith delivered to the saints, recovered and refined by the Protestant Reformation. Be sure to visit saybrookministries.org for continually updated Christian content designed to inspire and invigorate our imagination and intellect. Join us next week for another journey to the Saybrook Meeting House. Until then, may God bless you.